Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to receive your word. You said that your word is alive and it's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even about asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. God, we ask you to help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says so we can use it for every part of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination. We see things and we hear your word because your word comes in and keeps us out of darkness. We thank you, Father, that this word will go into good ground, bring forth great fruit in abundance. Would you create? I decree it. I call it done. And Satan, I remind you, these proceedings are off limits for you. Though you come immediately to steal the word, you're canceled from this assignment with these people. This word is going forth into the hearts and the minds of the people in this place and those watching by live stream or by television, that this will no longer keep them bound. The truth will make them free in Jesus' name. We call the blessings of God upon them in Jesus' name. And remind you, Satan, you're on your way to the lake of fire. So we torment you as you've tried to torment us. Remind you, there is no remedy for you, though we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Jesus' name, we call this done. We thank you, Lord, for the truth we're receiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated and tell them you're about to receive something very important. Tell them. Praise. Okay. While you're seated, hold your Bibles up and let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer of what I hear, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. All right, go in your Bibles with me, please, to Luke. We want to go to Luke. Well, no, let's go first to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 1. Somebody a fan of Matthew 1:1 over there? Glory to God. Okay, we'll go to Matthew 1:1 to make him happy. Praise God, whatever turns you on in the word. Okay, here we go. Matthew, I got to put them disclaimers out there. You know that? Yeah, I ain't stupid. All righty, so let's look at this, Matthew 1:1. Now, I'm going to read something here. We're going to read it together. And I want you to see something that, honestly, I've never seen before, okay? I ain't all that in a bag of chips. I'm not trying to be cool, smart, whatever. I'm just bees who are bees. But I want you to see something that God began to share with me today. Because actually today, we're going to find out what do I owe thee. We're continuing that. God told me to continue with this. I don't know when we're going to be done, but there's many facets to it. And today, let's drop in on the first Merry Christmas celebration. Let's go over to the prodigal son's house. Can we go to the prodigal son's house? His daddy is rich, and we're going to make a visit. Can we make a visit to his house? Okay, we're going to find out what it's like to be in the family of the prodigal son, having the prodigal son's father be the one that actually runs everything. And, you know, he's got all this stuff going on. And there's a Christmas gathering at the prodigal son's house. Are you ready for that? Okay, so we'll go over there in just a second. But I want you to see something, because how many know you're going to see some family probably within the next week? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be going over some relative's house in this place? Anybody here? Come on, put your hand up. I see hands all over the place. Some of you already there. You're already sleeping at their house for free. But here's the thing about it. We need to know what this is all about, this Christmas thing. And I want to be able to take some time to be able to look into this family, to be able to help to explain a little bit about what this Christmas thing about a little baby being born, and why all over, literally all over the world, people talk about one little baby being born. How in the world could this happen? In the world. And it's in the world. How in the world would this happen? It has to be something special. And then the opposition against it, against saying that there was a baby born, And I love the way that it's been explained. Which one is easier to understand, that a baby was born or that you were made out of dirt? That a baby was born from a virgin birth. And see, I think sometimes we just so fleshly, we can't see a virgin birth. Because we think there had to be a man involved somehow. No, it doesn't have to be. God created all things. He created everything out of nothing. He created you out of nothing. Y'all got what I'm saying? Now, this is important. It says here in this book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Everybody understand what that is? It is the genealogy. It's like your lineage. If we were to go all the way back, way before the Nina Pina and the Santa Maria, all of that stuff, way before that, way thousands of years back, looking at how you got here. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus' last name is not Christ. That describes the anointing upon him, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So Jesus was born as the anointed one, the one that the Jews had been waiting for a long time. He was the anointed one. So it says the genealogy. Now, the Bible also teaches us not to get tied up with foolish genealogies. This is not foolish to be able to study the genealogy of Jesus Christ, because it's in the Bible, the first part of the New Testament. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Stop. Where's Adam? Was he not the son of Adam? Was he the son of Adam? Yes or no? Now, why does God pick up with Adam and not, I'm sorry, pick up with Abraham and not Adam? Because this was not a physical birth. This was a spiritual birth with the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. So the male chromosome or the male influence came from not a man, but came from God the Father. Father. Sorry, ladies, but he's not God the Mother. You're gonna have to own up with this gender stuff. I don't know how we can get this, go this long and have this much calculations, computers, science, and artificial intelligence and everything else, still can't figure out what a man and a woman is. You stupid fool. You're so stupid. And go to the bathroom 4 or 5 times a day. Still can't figure it out. Just because you put on a dress don't make you a woman. You idiot. I'm sorry, make you a man. It don't make you a woman either. Some women, never mind, I won't go there. See, we're deceiving ourselves. But here I want to show you some clarity. In order to be part of Jesus' family, you cannot just be part of Adam's. You've got to get into this faith family. Abraham is known as the father of faith. And from that lineage came David. And out of that lineage, we follow it down to Jesus. Now, I know I'm getting a little heavy for a Christmas message, but I really believe we need to realize that when you come into God's kingdom, you actually come into God's family, which is not a family of sin. Jesus Christ was birthed to give us freedom from sin and forgiveness of sin. I'd write that down if I were you. You got freedom from sin and forgiveness of sin. Now, let's not stay there all day, but we got to see who's the, he is. He's the son of David. What about David? He's the son of Abraham. Now, I'm going to say something very controversial. Abraham messed up with Hagar. And that's how we got Ishmael, and now we've got the Palestinians and all of the others that are not Jewish in the Middle East for the most part. And the conflicts, it's a family conflict. Gaza and all that, that's a family conflict. It's between Ishmael and Isaac. It goes all the way back in the Bible. Now, so the son of Abraham, he's not considered on that side. He's considered on the side of Isaac. I'm trying to show you because you fit in here. You got to see where you fit in the family. Please write this down. We all came from a blended family. Ain't none of you got just your original family. We all came from a blended family. You may not like that, but if you're saved, you're part of a blended family. People from all over the world is part of your family. Jesus, who was Jewish, you may be African American, or you may be Hispanic, or you may be Caucasian from England or whatever. You mix up with this family, you're in a blended family. We are all of the same father. Please write this down. I love being adopted. You were adopted into the family of God. In other words, God had a choice. He picked you. He had a choice to receive you or not. But he received you by introducing you to Jesus Christ. That's what this whole celebration is about, is that Jesus Christ is here and we can all be able to take advantage of the reason why he's here. The little baby was birthed to die for us so we can come in his family. It's all a family thing. Okay, now we've got that established. So you are somebody special because, first of all, God picked you out to be part of this family. You have been adopted into this family. God has blended all us together. Nobody is disqualified that wants to be part of this family. Whosoever will, let them come and be part of this party at the boys' house. We're about to go at the boys' house now. We're going to that prodigal son's house. He just went through the door. He was dirty as could be. He'd been sleeping with pigs. I won't go any further with that one. So if we're dealing with Abraham and we're dealing with David, how do I do that part, Lord? Come on, help me. I remember when every one of our three children were born, I was there. I remember my first daughter, Monet, she's a school teacher. I remember when she came out of the womb. And she came out going like this. All that birthing stuff and cheesy looking stuff, she was trying to get it off her face. Well, it seemed like she was doing that. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just telling you what I saw. She came out and she was it in the hospital. They wanted to use her as the model for washing hair, model for how you put the clothes on, how you put the diaper on, all that stuff. They just loved that little girl. I remember when Danae came out. And Danae came out like, I'm in charge, y'all. Come on, get on over here. And she wouldn't talk to you unless she wanted to. She sucked on them two fingers until she wanted to say something. Then she took two fingers out and said what she had to say, put them two fingers back in, didn't care about you. That was the day. I remember when Don Jr. got here, Pastor Don got here. He had a Bible with him. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, you would think so the way he is. But he came out, and all I was looking for, is it a boy? Because they had lied to us, the doctors and everybody. Oh, it's a girl. Sound like a girl's heartbeat. And, you know, this is 30, almost 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago. I mean, I hear you coming out. And so, you know, I'm looking. What's in there? Okay, what do we got? And this was a C-section. She's sitting there. I remember that. She had the tube down her throat and stuff and tubes in her nose. And she went through that for us. Not me, just me, baby. Okay? She went through that for me. Because she loved me. And she loved her children. She loved God. She loved all of us. But I was so thankful. But because she let her body get all big and, you know, all that stuff and get cut and all that for us. I couldn't do it. Couldn't carry the baby. Maybe we should tell some of the other folks that's wondering. And I would have carried the baby if I could. But God ain't created that way. She's saying, I don't want to. Well, I probably don't, but thank you, Jesus. That's over. We both can't carry no babies now. Don't worry about that. So I remember that. And Don Jr. came out and it was like, I told you guys he's a boy. Because it's a heartbeat of a girl. We said, shut up. God had shown me a vision of who was coming. And it was not another girl. We had to. So let's go to the prodigal's house and check out their family. Can we do that for a moment? Now, they live right over here. They just put up their Christmas wreath. So we're ready for that, all right? Should I knock? Let's see what we're going to find. I don't think they want no company today. Let's go to scriptures and let's see what's going on in there. Now, I want to give you four things that they're probably dealing with and everybody deals with during this time of the year. But I want to be able to give you some things that's going to help you have a Merry Christmas with your party. I said with your party. Because believe it or not, they're so busy in their party and they can't even hear the door being knocked on. Go with me, please. To Luke chapter 16. First, I want to give you a couple meanings or understandings. We say all the time, Merry Christmas. But what does that mean versus Happy Holidays? What does Merry Christmas actually mean? Well, I went to AI and got me an AI definition of what Merry Christmas is about. It means wishing someone a joyful, pleasant, and happy time during the Christmas festival, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, Christ's Mass, with Merry implying cheerful celebration, revelry, and delight, a common greeting that became popular in the Victorian era and extends goodwill beyond just religious observations or observances. What does Happy Holidays mean? I'm sort of sick of people trying to replace Merry Christmas. It's just a personal thing. I got trapped yesterday. They said it too fast and I couldn't respond. I got out to my car and said, doggone it. They said, Happy Holidays. And usually when they say Happy Holidays, my wife and I will turn back and say, Merry Christmas. Well, and then the Spirit of the Lord brought to me, said, it don't make no difference. It don't matter. If they say Happy Holidays, they don't even know they're speaking of, really, a holidays means holy days. So they're talking spiritual anyhow. But I don't care if they have a happy one or whatever, if they can't say Merry Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. What's the meaning of happy holidays? Now, this all means something, so don't throw this to the side. AI says the meaning of happy holidays is happy holidays. It's an inclusive greeting, wishing joy during the winter season, encompassing various celebrations like Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, by avoiding assumptions about someone's specific faith. In other words, it's a way to say, have a good holiday, but don't be thinking about God. Or think about tradition. Don't think about that. Promoting respect for diverse cultures while still offering festive well wishes. It serves as a polite, broad spectrum greeting when you're unsure of someone's particular holiday observance, ensuring everyone feels included, appreciated during a festive time of the year so they don't ask you about Jesus Christ. That's my part. So I like Merry Christmas better than Happy Holidays. And I don't hope you're a holiday and a holy day either. Four things I want to give to you today. Be able to help you as you go to the festive events like what's going on behind those doors. Four things. Number one, these things will help you. I'm telling you, it's going to help you to be able to deal with life and be able to have a nice time this time of the year. Four things to make Christmas joyous. Number one, arise out of your past. As you go to celebrate, forget your past. Now, we learned this last week or week before. Pastor Don talked to us about it. It's your choice. You can't enjoy the future till you forget about the past. I say even forget about past raggedy Christmases. Don't allow yourself to stay in the past. Arise, arise, arise. I'm using that word on purpose. Arise out of it. Some of the reasons why we don't like going to see people during Christmas time is because you remember the last time you was together for Christmas. And whatever. And it wasn't fun. Uncle JoJo got real drunk that week. Everybody got upset because JoJo was acting a fool and put the lampshade on his head. Walked around, act like he was a giraffe. And your friends were there. And so you don't want that to happen again. Some of y'all look like you've been looking like a giraffe at these parties. You look like you're the one been having that problem, so I'll just look somewhere else. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Let's read some of this so we can get a hand on what I'm talking about. Because the prodigal son had to come to himself, and when he came to himself, he had to do something. You got to do something if you're going to get out of the mess that you've been in. If we're going to live a life going into 2026, after celebrating this Christmas, we're going to see the life that we're looking for. We're going to have to, number one, we're going to have to rise out of thinking about our past all the time. We got to come to ourselves. And when we come to ourselves, we don't just come to ourselves. We come to ourselves, and then we must arise. And when, this is verse number 15 through 17 and 18 and 20 we're going to look at. Here it is in Luke chapter 15 now, verse 17 through 18 and 20. It says, and when he came to himself, But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. Underline that. I will arise. You and I need to get up. It's not that bad. God is on your side. Well, you don't know what happened to me in the past. I told you that already. Forget that. Arise out of that past. Arise out of the rubble. Arise out of the arguments. Arise out of the challenges. Arise, arise, arise. Get up. Get up. Turn to somebody, tell them, get up. Yeah. Tell somebody else, arise. He arose. He got up. I will arise and go to my father. He didn't just say it. He did it after he said it. Because sometimes we say, I'm going to lose weight first of the year. I'm going to lose weight first of the year. I'll tell you, I'm losing that weight first of the year. Second of the year comes and you still ain't lost the weight. The whole year comes. You got to do it. We got to do it. We all have the challenge to make sure that we do it. Say amen to that. I know you don't want to hear that one. Nobody does. But we have to be able to not just be people that say things, but people that do what we say. I said, do what we say. I'm going to say it again. Do what we say. Turn to somebody else and tell them, arise. None of the two you said. Somebody else. Say, arise. We have to rise. He had to rise and say, I will go to my Father, and I will say to my Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You know, like one, like people always say, like one of those. No. Thank God he didn't listen to him. His Father didn't listen to him. And God doesn't listen to you when you talk negative about yourself. You put yourself down, but you know, I spent time in prison. Well, you know, I sinned over there. You know, I made that big mistake. You know, I spent all the money. You know, God says, shut up. Well, that's our next point. I can't say that. But it's like crazy. You do not need to talk negative about yourself. You have enough people already doing it. You don't need to criticize yourself. There's enough people running around criticizing you. You say, well, not me. Yes, you too. As nice as I am, people criticize me. Yeah. She said, what? So most people say, I see why. But see, we have to realize that God doesn't want you down in the dirt any more than you want your kids with their face in the dirt saying they're nobody. You can't bully yourself and please God. Number two, he said, I'll rise. But when he was a great way off, after he arose, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There's nothing wrong, men, with being emotional with your children. I had to learn how to hug once I found out my wife was going to have a child. I was not a hugger. She knows I was not a hugger because my father, who was a great man, wonderful man, loved God, loved us, took care of us, worked hard for our family, but he grew up not being hugged himself. And so the way he would hug me is that he would take me like this and then he would go like that to my back. Boom, 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 boom. Love you, Don. And so I thought that's all you get. But affectionate hugs I never got from my father. So my wife knew that, and when we found out we were going to have children, she said, Don, you really need to learn how to hug. And I didn't have no problem hugging her, but others, I would sort of even cringe, sort of like, my dad was like that too, sort of cringe when people would touch me. You need to express, especially to your children, affection. Now, that way of thinking did not go to my son, Don Shorter Jr. He's the biggest hugger. He's Mr. Bear Hug. He loves hugging. He hugs all the time. And his kids are climbing all over his head and, you know, undoing his shirt and, you know, taking his belt down the street and stuff. I'm stop him, Don! He's like, oh, they're just my kids. He loves it. But see, sometimes we need to show that we really do love God. You know what? You need to give God the Father a hug sometime. Get emotional with him sometime. Let yourself cry out to God and stop being so hard. Macho man or macho woman. They're both there. Second thing, shut up and just enjoy. Here he's saying all this stupid stuff. I'm not worthy to be in the house. Well, you probably ain't. You smell like a cow. You shouldn't be here. But don't say that about yourself. Just shut up. I learned a long time ago when I was in sales that if you shut up at the right time, you'll get the sale. You keep talking, it's going to fall right out on you. I learned in sales training, give the closing statement and shut up. And it's very uncomfortable to say, would you like it in blue or yellow? I know you like those colors. Got the sale. The first one that speaks loses. So shut up. The Father already knows you're a mess. He's been following around you around. He didn't just jump into your life. Well, you decided to come back to Jesus. He's been watching you in the pig pen. He knows where you've been. Shut up and just enjoy this Christmas. Don't sit around and mope about the ones that you didn't have any money for. Or the ones that your relationship was screwed up with the family. Don't do that. Shut up and just enjoy. It's obvious you shouldn't be there. We're all sinners. Saved by grace. None of us fell out of the womb qualified. Y'all seem to be pretty quiet today, huh? If that's a good or bad thing, maybe you're thinking. And when the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son, then I put the word shut up. But the father didn't even listen to him. He didn't even talk to him. He turned to the servants, and he said to the servants, bring the best robe. Bring the ring. Get the boy some shoes. Get him some brand new sandals. Okay? Put it on his feet, not everybody else's feet. His feet. Woo! We dealing with that family behind that door now. We dealing with it. And everybody's saying, what? The father's going to get the fatted calf? You talking about the big fat one? The one? We're having roast for dinner on Christmas Day. Y'all need to know. And she bought two roasts. And she was picking to try to make sure it didn't have too much fat. I said, the fat's good, baby. That's the marbling. You wanna keep some of that fat up in that thing. We celebrating. I ain't on no diet on Christmas Day. I got my way. We kept the roast that I picked. She wanted to get the one all lean, you know. Nothing but protein. I want some fat on Christmas. Cost a little more dough for the stuff that's good. But that's all right. We're celebrating. How many Christmases you going to have on the planet? I don't know. But you need to enjoy the one you got. Oh, I'm preaching now. So shut up. Shut us up. Okay. So, but the father said to the servant, I ain't thinking about what he's talking about. Don't go now. Go get the best robe. You know, the one that has a gold trim, you know, the one that's real fuzzy, feel real good. And get the fatted calf. Kill it. Do you know in order to eat, you got to kill something? Well, I'm a vegetarian. You still got to kill them plants to eat them. They did. Just saying. Them plants are dead. They don't stay alive in your stomach. Once you boil them suckers like you boil them, you done boiled all the nutrition out of them anyhow. How about you a vegetarian? That's why you look so emaciated. You need to eat some meat sometime. Just me talking. Just me. I'll be gone in a few minutes. You can do what you want. But think about it. Best robe. God is described. This is in the Word of God. Ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. Bring them here and the fatted calf, kill that sucker. And let us eat. And be merry. That's going to be my Christmas day. Bring them roast up in here. The ones with all the fat. Let me taste some of that fat. Think about it. And he's commanding them, stop having an attitude. Well, you know, the Christmas is before me. Shut up. Eat and be merry. Stuff some food in your mouth so you'll shut up at least. Okay, only got two more points left. That's what he said. Now, point number three, after shut up, Point number three is how to avoid being the Grinch of your family. You weren't supposed to say that. Wasn't nobody supposed to know you're the Grinch. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Okay, here we go. How to avoid being the Grinch of your family. Why is it this year the Grinch is so much a part of Christmas? Everywhere you go, there's nothing but Grinch stuffed animals, Grinch lights, Grinch wreaths. I mean, Grinch everything. Everything's the Grinch. Everybody's grouchy. People are mad. They're upset. Get happy. Eat and be merry. I said eat and be merry. Okay, how to avoid being the Grinch? We're almost done. Luke chapter 15, now 24 through 26. For this, my son, his father is trying to explain to the son that came home that it's a blessing because the other brother, see, the prodigal son had a brother, and that dude got angry seeing all this going on. And you know who that's like? Church members that never backslid. Church members have been here ushering all, every time we had to open the door, they was there opening the door and ushering. Choir members that never fell out of the choir. Deacons that kept deaconing all the time. Preachers that never screwed up. You've been sitting in the church, serving the Lord. I know I'm preaching to the choir and y'all getting quiet. You've been sitting up in the church all this time, and all of a sudden, some whippersnapper, new member, come up and join this church, and all of a sudden want to take your position. And it's like, what the deal? I've been here all this time, Pastor Shawda, working in the fields. And you gonna let this bonnetic sucker come up in here and take my song, sing my song? That's my place to stand and usher. He can't go out in the parking lot. That's my position in the parking lot. What you doing? Church has a real problem with this. They want to play an instrument. Nobody likes you here at this church, you know. I play the sousaphone. You can't play it. And the pastor's saying, why aren't we growing? Because every time somebody wants to come, they set a booby trap for them out in the parking lot. Next week they can't come back because they got a broken leg. Pastor saying, I'm believing for growth. Congregation members saying, I'm believing for my position. Ain't nobody getting my job. Well, here he was. I'm almost done now. Here he was. Said, this was my son. The father's trying to explain to this mad brother. We all got these mad brothers. I got two or three of them. They're mad. They're upset. They ain't upset because I'm broke. They upset because I'm blessed. Whoa, we gonna go there. You only them prosperity preachers. Well, what am I supposed to, I came out of poverty, I couldn't preach that. There would be no change. I'm supposed to preach broke, so you go to work to get broke. You know, we ain't that stupid to think that. And you ain't that stupid to think it either. You just want an excuse for not coming into the church and putting your tithes and offerings in. We only do the Christmas service once a year, so y'all won't have to worry about this. But seriously, think about it. Here, this son, the Bible says it. He was dead. He was lost in his family. My son was dead. Do you care about your brothers and sisters that may be dying? We ain't even talking about the Gentiles outside of the kingdom, but we're talking about brothers and sisters that have fallen off. Now, there's a difference. I am a pastor, been pastoring for almost 40 years. I know the difference between someone that's lost and somebody, one that left. Some people ain't lost that left the church. They left the church because they don't want to be at the church. So if you call them up, you try to beg them all this, they ain't coming. They don't want to come. You ain't lost. You've been to the church. You can't be lost. We ain't moved. So I don't feel sorry for you. You go through your hell that you want to go through because it's a choice, fool. Sickness, disease, poverty, stupid stuff, drugs, alcohol, all that. That's what you get when you get out of the Father's house. So you can open that door and let the door hit you in the butt as you leave. But I'm telling you, you're going to wish you stayed in. Because there's some good stuff I'm in the Father's house. I ain't talking about this house. I'm talking about God's house. I'm talking about God's house. I'm talking about when you hook up with heaven. And you're going to sit there and you think you know, you couldn't even hardly get through third grade. Now you're going to sit there and like you're going to figure all this stuff out. I know I couldn't. I had a problem with second grade. And they began to be merry in this house. He went into the house and Father was saying, why are you like this? Man, can't you celebrate with us? No, I ain't coming. You just hurting yourself. I ain't coming to church no more. Who cares? I ain't coming no more. I ain't coming. Pastor said something to. Now you expect me to stand up here, study all week long, to be able to come here and not and talk about somebody else. You come up here to hear something about yourself. At least I don't call your name because I don't know your name. It ain't got names on each one of these things I'm teaching. Now the Holy Spirit's got your name. So if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at God because God's the one that knew your mail. He's been reading your mail. I didn't know you were fornicating. I know you lied and stole that money at work. I know you was cheating on your wife. I know you've been taking drugs. Ain't nobody tell me nothing. I walk right out of here. Y'all see me walk out of here. Don't nobody hardly even talk to me. Now, I don't have a problem with it. But even when you go to the doctor, you take your clothes off. He's got to see what's going on physically. You think I'm going to be stupid enough where God's going to have me come out here and not know nothing about what's going on? I mean, I know who it is, but he's going to tell me what to say. The Spirit of God will read your mail. And you need to be glad that he's reading it because that's because he loves you. He could let your funky butt fall right off the cliff and say nothing. So if it slaps you upside the head, turn the other cheek. Let him slap the other one. What I preach to you, I get too, but I get it first. God hit me in the head before he hit you. And sometimes y'all move when he's trying to hit you. At least I stay there. I'm having fun. But watch this. And they began to be merry. I'm not stopping my merriment over your attitude. You don't like Jesus? Go to hell then, because that's where you're going to end. You're going to end up in hell. I'm telling you, if you reject Jesus, you have no other way to get there. So I'm not telling you to go to hell. You are going. You need Jesus to avoid hell. But this ain't all about hell. Because you live in hell on earth. Man, this is a good Christmas service. I'm going to have to repeat this next week. No, seriously. People want to blame everybody else for their problems. You're the one with the funky marriage. You're the one who keep teetotaling after work. That's an old term, by the way. You're the one keep cussing Freudian slips. You're the one arguing with your wife all the time, mad at the kids. Be merry. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Let's go to number four. Fourth and final thing, and this won't be long. It's already yours. You don't have to go through all that to get this. To get this kind of life I'm talking about, where God is blessing your life and things are happening and sickness come on you and it just repels like you've got Teflon coating on. You don't have to go through all this, what you're going through, to get what you're looking for. God already paid the price through Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate his birth. Excuse me. That's why we celebrate his birth. Because his birth freed us up. He came to die. And some of us are dead yet living. You live a dead life. You're a living lie. Everything. I was that way. That's how I live. I was a living lie. Deacon living lie. It's up in the Baptist church. But I found out the truth that you can serve God and get free. Say amen to that. Y'all still here? Okay, we got about 3 more minutes, and I'm out of here. 2 more minutes, all right? Look at what it says. It says in Luke chapter 15, now verse 27, it says, and he said unto him, your brother is come, and the father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. Did you hear what I said? Now, I'm reading out of King James Version. I wish you would switch it over to that, please, because I want to make sure we're going together. You can read it on your own with the other translations, but I want to go for this because there's key words here, okay? And it says, and he was angry. We got to deal with this. Here you at the party, but you mad. You at the celebration. Christmas party with the family. Christmas party for the church. Christmas party at work. Well, the one at work, I don't know. But yeah, Christmas party. You know what I mean? Don't be angry. Don't get mad. God is on your side. There's not a problem that you have that God will not solve. And don't get jealous because your brother is blessed. Sure, he was out with prostitutes. Spent all the money that he had. He ain't getting no more, but he spent the money. And you were in the house doing all the work. You're the brother. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Celebrate. He's back. Don't you care about people living? Say amen. Well, they're living. He's living. And he's trying to tell them, you should celebrate this. But he was angry and would not go in. 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 This door, by the way, doesn't open. They screwed it shut. So I can't even open that door. But there's some doors that you can go in. You make sure you don't stay angry. Because God has already given you everything you need. Don't look under the tree. Look up to the sky. Look up to the Lord. Look up to the Lord himself. Because God has already given us everything that we need. Now these 4 things, I want you to be able to really put them to heart. Number 1, arise out of your past. Forget that. Number 2, shut up and let God talk sometimes. Number 3, avoid being so grouchy like you're the Grinch. And number 4 is realize it's already yours. I ain't looking for much under the tree this year. Really, because I don't really need nothing. But, you know, people will give me stuff, and that's fine. Don't stop doing that. Because some people need to give. They need to learn how to not be a taker. And so they need to give. And that's one of the reasons why we receive offerings here, even after we go over budget. Because people still need to express their faith and give. This is a great place to be able to sow and to be able to please God. If we were never receive gifts, you'd never get to express yourself as being a giver in that way. Say amen. But God gives us the opportunity to do this. So know that it's already yours. Turn to someone, tell them, it's already mine. What you're looking for, God already has for you. The prodigal son couldn't come in, and he went away in a rage. He just couldn't even, he couldn't even stand being there, even though the father came out and tried to entreat him, tried to talk to him. And sometimes people try to come to us and say, it's all right, it's all right, and you still want to have that anger. Drop the anger. The Bible says, be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So every night, sunset, you ought to let it go. You can't hold it for 6 years. Every time you see them, every Christmas, got that anger coming up. Drop it. I'm helping somebody. I know I am. I know God is helping you. I want you to make a confession with me. Say, God, thank you for your sacrifice that you gave Jesus Christ. Because of him, in my life has become joyous. Today, I thank you, Lord, for giving me the joy that I have. During this season, let me not be angry. Let me not be grouchy. Let me be happy. And let me have a merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we call this done. We seal it now in Jesus' name. The words that can be taken by each and every one individually that could be used, I pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, you bring it back to their memory as these situations come upon them in Jesus. Yeah, I got that. As these situations come upon them in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that they'll be able to stop conflicts, that they'll be able to keep joy in the house, that they'll be able to enjoy with others, and that you will give them the peace that passes all understanding as we learn to conduct ourselves, not just during this time of the year, but throughout the year. We call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. I deliver what God told me to do. I hope you got it. Amen.